This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl.
Maybe you know somebody that this happened to. They went to the hospital for one thing and wound up sick or even sicker from something else entirely. And it gets worse. Nearly a quarter of a million people a year die from what doctors call preventable harm, things like infections and prescription drug mix-ups. A lot of those errors can be traced to intensive care units, some of the most technologically sophisticated but risky places in the modern hospital. A team at Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore is trying to learn from those mistakes. Dan Gorenstein reports now from the health desk at WHYY.
Johns Hopkins has one of the world's safest ICUs. Doctors and nurses follow all the best practices. Equipment is state-of-the-art. Infection rates are among the lowest in the country. But even with all that, Hopkins ICU nurse Rhonda Weiskill says she's not even sure about having her own father there.
I would never let my father be a patient without being here almost 100% of the time.
Why would a nurse who's worked on the unit since it opened 13 years ago feel like that? Because mistakes are easy to make, especially in the ICU. Spend any time there and you can see, actually hear, the chaos all around. There are beeps and whirring, just a mix of sounds. And every one of those sounds is connected to something that is connected to someone. ICU patients are so sick, and their cases are often so complicated, that staff need to perform as many as 200 tasks on the average patient every single day.
Check the patient's weight, take their blood pressure, draw blood work.
You get the idea, but you know what? It's not happening. Dr. Peter Pronovost is the Vice President of Patient Safety at Johns Hopkins and a nationally known safety expert.
On average, patients receive a little more than half of the therapies that they're supposed to. Half.
Pronovost says part of the problem is that ICUs have so many machines and doctors and nurses have so much to keep track of, they simply can't keep up.
I need a technology that synthesizes alarms so I'm not answering a false one every 92 seconds. I need a technology that makes it easy and efficient for me to do the right thing in medicine, not think I'm going to remember 200 things.
Right now, clinicians are stuck with individual machines that do a great job gathering data, but there's no way to connect the dots. So things get missed and people die. There's the well-known case of Roy Staunton, a 12-year-old boy from Queens who cut his arm playing basketball and died 3 days later from a massive infection. Joe Chiani, who runs the medical device firm Masimo Corporation, says the pediatrician in the emergency room in New York couldn't put the puzzle together.
They collected vital signs data, like his pulse rate, like his white blood cell count. But all that data was sitting there, but only, unfortunately, after the boy passed away, did people understand, oh my God, this boy got septic.
Preventable errors like that kill an estimated 250,000 people every year. Only cancer and heart disease are more deadly. Then there's the cost. Medical mistakes add up to more than $30 billion a year. The solution seems straightforward. Create machines that talk to each other and make it easier for ICU staff to access all that information in one place. Chiani says that's been a tough sell in his industry.
Frankly, I think for the most part, it's been greed.
He says device makers have been mainly interested in selling more machines rather than machines that do more. Bob Wachter is a professor of medicine at the University of California, San Francisco. He says companies can no longer afford that approach.
I think all of the manufacturers have begun to recognize that they can't continue to sell products if the end result is unsafe care.
Which is to say, they've gotten the message from guys like Hopkins' Peter Pronovost.
We won't buy monitors or technologies that won't link and share data. We need technologies that help productivity rather than hurt it.
Last month, nearly two dozen hospitals and nine medical device manufacturers, including industry giants GE and Dräger, pledged to start working together. In the meantime, Hopkins Applied Physics Laboratory is getting ready to roll out what's known as Emerge. Think of it as the iPad for the ICU, a central location for patient information. With the tap of a finger, medical staff can track what's happening with patients and answer the most important questions.
Who's at risk for bad outcomes? What therapy should they get? Did they get them? And did they actually get well?
To bring Emerge to life, Hopkins has a team with everyone from hospital executives to submarine engineers to frontline ICU nurses like Rhonda Weiskill. Weiskill says the whole goal is to let machines do what they do best, organize information so doctors and nurses can do what they do best, take care of patients. Nurse Weisskill understands perfectly what's at stake. 10 years ago, her mother died from an infection that she got in an ICU.
What if I had gotten in there and touched her and made sure she was turned every 2 hours and made sure that her head of bed was up 30 degrees? Maybe she wouldn't have gotten infected if I had been there more.
Weisskill says if Emerge works, it would give her back all the hours she now spends running from machine to machine, responding to nonstop alarms. All the more time to make sure her patients are safe. In Baltimore, I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.